Jainityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Advaita
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Devotees, we don't know exactly, we know approximately, but not exactly where we finished a week ago. So we will just start just shortly after where we began. We may repeat something, we may miss something too, but we'll have to do something like that. Anyway, let me just drink something. We finished.
139
is today. Okay, I thought we were further on. Okay. We can begin at 139. We can begin at... we got further on than 139. But anyway, it's all right. We can read it again. So then, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 13, the ecstatic dancing of the Lord at Rath Yatra, and we will begin with verse 139. Purve Uddhava Dware Ebe Sakshat Amare Yoga Gyane Kahila Upai Tumi Vidagda Kripa Maya Janaha Amar Ridaya More Aiche Kahite Na Yuyaya. Actually, we read this last week, but it's okay, we'll read it again. It's very nice. Translation. My dear Krishna, formerly, when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind doesn't accept it. There is no place in my mind for jnana yoga or dhyana yoga. Although you know me very well, you are still instructing me in jnana yoga and dhyana yoga. It is not right for you to do so. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of mystic yoga, the speculative method for searching out the Supreme Absolute Truth, does not appeal to one who is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. A devotee is not at all interested in speculative activities. Instead of cultivating speculative knowledge or practicing mystic yoga, a devotee should worship the deity in the temple and continuously engage in the Lord's service. Temple deity worship is realized by the devotees to be the same as direct service to the Lord. The deity is known as the Archa Vigraha or Archa Avatar, an incarnation of the Supreme Lord in the form of a material manifestation, brass, stone, or wood. Ultimately, there's no difference between Krishna manifest in matter or Krishna manifest in spirit, because both are his energies. For Krishna, there's no distinction between matter and spirit. His manifestation in material form, therefore, is as good as his original form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. A devotee constantly engaged in deity worship, according to the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastras and given by the spiritual master, realizes gradually that he is in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he loses all interest in so-called meditation, yoga practice, and mental speculation. Hare Krishna. So we definitely read this last week. I remember vividly the discussion about the value of the worship of the deity, that we're actually worshipping the Lord in person. It is not anything at all like symbolic or representational. But let's just say a couple of words here and then we'll carry on. So yes, Srimati Radharani is speaking here. Srimati Radharani is speaking. Well, it is actually Lord Chaitanya speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani. What would you say? Just protesting. It's Srimati Radharani, as they met in Kurukshetra, and she is protesting that previously you sent Uddhava to teach me. Well, the idea was to try to help me get over my feelings of separation from you by getting into some knowledge about how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervading. Basically, it was along those lines. But I didn't appreciate that, because these types of processes, what he was at least sort of encouraging me to do, was something which is like a second class and not very good type of spiritual practice. It involves some speculation. Yes, it doesn't necessarily involve direct contact with you, but it's something more along the lines of being, well, as we said, representational, symbolic, that sort of idea. The Lord is not exactly there, but we're encouraging, some remembrance is being encouraged. That's basically the idea. Just some remembrance is being encouraged. Of course, in remembrance, there may be also direct contact. But in remembrance, it's not as direct as just seeing the person right in front of you, even if you actually remember them. Still, it's not quite the same. This is at least the idea. You know, on a certain level, it might possibly be, but only on a certain level, a very elevated level. But seeing a person who is right in front of you, it doesn't really depend on your level. It's just, as long as you've got eyes, you'll see them. Something like that. But you were encouraging me to get into some process which is normally just, you know, it's kind of partially speculative, and some sort of remembrance, if you can remember, and something like that. It's not as direct as being just right in front of your eyes. So why did you do that? You shouldn't have done that. And now you're doing it again. So you must stop this. Even though you know me very well, still you're trying to do this, and it is not fair, because you know me. You know me, and you know what I am, and you know what I want and what I need. But now you're giving me something which, by definition, at least generally, is not on the same level. And I don't really want it. I want the direct contact. So, like this, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, as we mentioned last week, he is making the point that instead of doing these types of things, we should worship the deity in the temple. Oh, well, yes. Shortly, they will be coming, I would say, in a minute or a couple of minutes, depending on how much our deity program is working according to time. But according to my concept of time, it should be, well, maybe 5 minutes. Yes, anyway, so we'll see. The deity. So instead of cultivating speculative knowledge or practicing mystic yoga, a devotee should worship the deity in the temple, because this is the same as direct service to the Lord in person, meaning as he was present 5,000 years ago, walking and talking. Not that the deity cannot walk and talk, if we're familiar at least with Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we would know that there's definitely, what an example of the deity walking from Vrindavan almost to Jagannath Puri. That's a long walk. That's a really long walk. And talking also. So the deity is capable of that, but the deity generally does not do that. And to sort of protect the devotees from thinking they're more advanced than what they are. Because believe me, there are many dangers in Krishna consciousness, or, you know, sort of not in Krishna consciousness. Well, you could say in, but there are many dangers sort of peripheral to Krishna consciousness that, you know, you could get into if you're not careful. And thinking you're more advanced than what you are is one of the most dangerous and one of the most easy to get into. There are others which are very easy to get into too, but that's very easy. To think you're more advanced than what you are. Better to think you're less advanced than what you are. Because you may be. Anyway, that doesn't exactly make sense. But it sort of does, if you get the idea. Right. So therefore the deity, out of his or her mercy, generally doesn't reveal too much that might prompt you or encourage you to somehow think that you're more advanced than what you really are. That, oh, the Lord spoke to me. He can do it. He can speak. Just like on Facebook these days, we have one young man has joined us. He may be there right now. Actually, probably is. George, from George. And George is Afrikaans. He speaks English, but it's not, you know, it's a little difficult for him. So devotees are preaching to him in Afrikaans. So if you happen to be Afrikaans, you don't need to worry. Krishna is fluent. He's completely fluent. And if he wants at any time, he can do it, means the deity. Yes. And of course, he's fluent in English also. But generally doesn't do it. There's so many, there are various accounts, a few accounts in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In various other literatures, there are quite a number of accounts of deities speaking and acting and so on and so forth. And because the fact is, the deity is no less capable than the Lord himself. In fact, the deity is not just like you've got the deity and then you've got the Lord himself, you know, like they're two identities, but the deity is the Lord himself. He's actually the same, very same person, but appearing in a form and dealing with the devotees who, a form for, well, for anyone really, but in our cases, for devotees who are not very advanced. And dealing with us very intelligently to help us to progress and develop more like a personal attitude towards our relationship with the Lord, but not in a sahajya type of way. Sahajya indicates a few different things, but the basic idea of sahajya, on a kind of very elementary level, the basic idea is someone who takes something elevated cheaply. This is the idea. Cheapness. Cheapness is the idea. Yeah. Just like Prabhupada. And through cheapness, they think they're more advanced than what they are. And then as a result, their whole effort for whatever it's worth in Krishna consciousness just becomes hopeless, at least for the time being. Just hopeless. They're just sort of wasting their time. Maybe in the future some more real opportunity will be given, but for the time being it's hopeless. And we're reminded how Srila Prabhupada gives an example. It might be in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but Prabhupada gives an example of what he calls the kaccha jackfruit. Of course, kaccha can just mean it's just of a bad standard or something like that, not up to a proper standard. But in this case, kaccha jackfruit means, Prabhupada explains, there on the tree, there is the jackfruit tree, and there are many jackfruits. And I'm sure all or so many of us have seen plenty of jackfruits before, and they are big. And you might wonder, how could such big fruits grow on a tree? But they do. But then Prabhupada says, along with all these normal big jackfruits, you get another jackfruit. It is a kaccha jackfruit. And it is this size. It's this size. Yeah. But it's fully ripened. It's fully ripened. You can leave it on the tree if you want, in the hope that, well, maybe it will grow. But it won't, because it's fully grown. You can do what you like with it. But it's useless. Just toss it away. Shri, Shri, Radha, Radnath, Shri, Giri, Govardhan, Shri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ki, Jai. Yeah, so it's useless. And Prabhupada's giving this example to illustrate the sahajiyas particularly, specifically, that they think they're on such a level of entering Radha Krishna Leela directly, and you can't tell them that they're not. They're convinced but there's nothing you can do for them. You can't correct them and get them on the proper path. They think they're there, so they're like the little catcher jackfruit, and it's hopeless. Their efforts are just in vain. So Prabhupada makes the point here. Ultimately, there's no difference between Krishna manifest in matter or Krishna manifest in spirit, because they're both energies of the Lord. And as he likes, he can turn matter into spirit or spirit into matter or whatever he likes. He is not restricted by anything, basically. Even one time I heard a class of Prabhupada's, a devotee asked Prabhupada, the devotee said that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, we are all eternal spirit souls. Yes. But if Krishna wanted, the devotee asked, could Krishna kill a soul, destroy a soul? And Prabhupada said, yes. But Prabhupada said, but he will not do it. Yeah, he will not do it. So he can do what he likes, basically. But certain things he won't do, and he doesn't do, and he's never done, and he will not. Yeah, so therefore the deity should be taken very seriously indeed. And Srila Prabhupada always took the deities very seriously indeed. And he always discouraged any sort of tendency towards taking the deity cheaply or dealing with the deity in familiar type ways beyond our actual real position in Krishna consciousness. So the deity is there as much as he is. He's there in the deity. He is the deity as much as when he was walking around, talking to all sorts of people, doing different pastimes, and just doing everything. On the surface, apparently, in at least many times, exactly like an ordinary person. Yes. So, but we are not on that level of realization to actually be able to interact and have the Lord interact with us in the ways that has happened with some devotees, some great devotees. So therefore Srimati Radharani is making this point, and it's a very important point. I don't want an indirect process where there's room for error and it's just not the same as being face to face with you. Yeah, I don't want it. I want you directly. So let's go on. Again, it's Radharani speaking. Chitakadi tomahaite Vishay chahi lagaite yatnakari nari kadibare taridhyana shikshakaraha loka hasana mara stana stana nakara vichare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued as Radharani, I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage it in material activities. But even though I try, I cannot do so. I'm naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. We read this last week also. I don't know if you remember. I remember clearly the word ludicrous. You know, it's a very powerful word. It's not as common as many words, but it's so strong. It's just totally crazy. It's not like, you know, don't do it. It's not the best thing. We could do better. It's just, it's madness. It's ludicrous. In this way, you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. and the purport. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, and Yabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Jnavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. For a pure devotee, there's no scope for indulgence in mystic yoga practice or the cultivation of speculative philosophy. It is indeed impossible for a pure devotee to engage his mind in such unwanted activities. Even if a pure devotee wanted to, his mind would not allow him to do so. That is a characteristic of a pure devotee. He is transcendental to all fruitive activity, speculative philosophy, and mystic yoga meditation. The gopis therefore expressed themselves as follows. That's where we finished, I think. Yeah. So anyway, it's interesting just in this regard to, in regard to the idea of maybe meditating rather than dealing personally, maybe doing some indirect type of process, speculative, meditative, or whatever, as opposed to something direct, is that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the second part, when Gopakumar is on his way step by step back to Goloka Vrindavan, he stops off at the very high planets in the material sphere, like Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, these planets. And frankly, offhand, I forget exactly which one it was, but on one of them, he found everyone was meditating, silently sitting. On another one, everyone was doing fire yajna and offering things into the fire and chanting the mantras. But on this one, everyone was silently meditating. And if you know anything about Gopakumar, he's not very good at being silent. So Gopakumar, he arrived there, and what was it? I think he saw the Lord was appearing to them as they're meditating. And he saw that, and he called out, Gopal! 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 That's his way. Because he's a cowherd boy, eternally. And the meditators, they got upset with him. Stop that! You don't do that here. You got to sit down, close your eyes, and meditate, and like that. Similarly, when he visited for some time Vaikuntha, there he was introduced to Lord Narayan by some of Lord Narayan's associates, and they tried to sort of prep him a little before. When you come in front of the Lord, what you do? First of all, you bow down. Then you get up and you stand like this. And then you quietly present the following prayers. They try to train him up a little. In a very sort of, what would you say? In a very respectful and formal way. And this is how you deal with the Lord. And Gopakumar was like, yeah, okay, right. We'll see the Lord. Yeah, okay. I'll be seeing the Lord. Oh, yeah. I'll be seeing the Lord. Wow. So he came in front of the Lord. And again it was, Gopal! Gopal! And he started to run forward. My Gopal! And those devotees grabbed him like, wait a minute, don't do that, please. It's not the way you do things. So therefore Gopakumar in Vaikuntha, what to speak of the other place, even in Vaikuntha, even though it was very nice in many ways. In many ways, it was really wonderful. But in certain very important ways, he felt frustrated. And therefore, eventually, he had to leave. Yes. So, like this, those devotees, those types of devotees, to engage in these types of activities, even though they may be suitable, they are suitable for some people to help them to progress. But for someone like Gopa Kumar, and what to speak of someone like Srimati Radharani and the gopis of Vrindavan, it's just not really the right thing. So therefore they express themselves as, follows. Yeah. Nahi gopi yogeshwara pada kamala tomara dhyana kari paibe santosha tomara tomara vakya paripati tara maje kuti nati shuni gopir aro bade rosha. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Kuti nati. It means duplicity, hypocrisy. It's one of the classic anathas. So Radharani says, the gopis are not like the mystic yogis. They'll never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating the so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. She's really being heavy with them. Ludicrous. Duplicitous. Just imagine if someone, you know, if, I don't know if it's happened to you, someone who's dear to you walks up to you and says, you're being a hypocrite. That's heavy. That's very heavy. Yeah. So teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they're instructed to undergo mystic yoga practice, they're not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more and more angry with you. So, yes, we didn't read this last week, I think. So, purport, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has stated in Chaitanya Chandramrita, verse 5, Kaivalyam Narakayate, Tridaspura Kashpushpayate, Doradan Tendri Kala Sarpa Patali Prokata Damstrayate Vishvapurna Sukayate Vidi Mahendradis Cha Kitayate Yat Karunya Kataksha Vibhava Vatam Tam Goram Eva Stuna Stuma. For a pure devotee who's realized Krishna consciousness through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the monistic philosophy by which one becomes one with the Supreme appears hellish. The mystic yoga practice by which the mind is controlled and the senses are subjugated also appears ludicrous to a pure devotee. The devotee's mind and senses are already engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. In this way, the poisonous effects of sensory activities are removed. If one's mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no possibility that one will think, feel, or act materially. Similarly, the fruit of workers' attempt to attain to the heavenly planets is nothing more than a phantasmagoria for the devotee. Phantasmagoria, of course, meaning it's not just a dream. It's like a super hallucination. I don't know if you're familiar, you know, with people like artists like Picasso, Salvador Dali. Did you ever see Salvador Dali pictures? And there are some which are much further out than them, but they're sort of famous and fairly well known. And their paintings are like phantasmagoria, particularly Dali. There are elements which appear normal. Man is walking down the street, appears normal. He's got a big hole through his body. Oh, okay. He's just walking down the street. So it's phantasmagoria. It's like a super hallucination. It's also like craziness, actually. Yeah. So for the devotees then, at least for the pure devotees, attaining to the heavenly planets, or what goes on the heavenly planets and what they do and the types of enjoyments they have, to the pure devotee, it appears like some crazy hallucination. Why on earth are you doing that? You're just missing the point in just a horrible way. After all, the heavenly planets are material, and in due course of time they'll all be dissolved. Devotees do not care for such temporary things. They engage in transcendental devotional activities because they desire elevation to the spiritual world, where they can live eternally and peacefully and with full knowledge of Krishna. In Vrindavan, the gopis, cowherd boys, and even the calves, cows, trees, and water are fully conscious of Krishna, even the water. There's no dead matter. Nothing is unconscious. Nothing is not alive in the spiritual world. So they're never satisfied with anything but Krishna. Yes, because, well, for different reasons, of course. For one reason, they know that this is the reality, the devotees. They know that this is real, and these other things are not real. The heavenly planets, they're not real. It's like, it's a phantasmagoria. It's like a big hallucination. There's sometimes when people take drugs and hallucinate, sometimes they enter some sort of hallucinatory world where things appear very nice, and they therefore they feel, oh, this is fantastic, this is just tremendous to enter into a world like this. But the thing is, it's just an hallucination. It has no reality even. It's not even real. It's just a figment of the imagination. And therefore, what can it actually give you in fact? You need reality, which means your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, when you engage in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even in the beginning stages, what to speak of the very advanced stages, like Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, who's the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, is talking about. In the very advanced stages, the pleasure, the happiness, it goes far beyond peace of mind. Prabhupada would say, peace of mind is the first installment of result in terms of, you know, like internal experience. But quickly a devotee goes on, at least if a devotee is practicing seriously, to experience great pleasure, and then more pleasure, and then even more, and then even more pleasure. To the point that compared to material pleasure, it becomes, the experience becomes many times better. And therefore, who was it? Bhulamangal Thakur says, when I remember how I used to enjoy with members of the opposite sex previously when I was a materialist, and I thought, wow, this is really enjoyment. I'm just having a wonderful time engaged in illicit sex life, or licit. But now I'm experiencing the nectar of devotion, the nectar of devotional service. And this pleasure that I thought was just so wonderful, now it seems so, it's like it's ridiculous. It's an insult. And therefore I spit at the thought. And Prabhupada, at least one time, Prabhupada, the way he pronounces it is, I spite at the thought. Of course, spite, you know, that's strong. That's very strong. And Prabhupada, you know, he was a very subtle person. So maybe to spite is a very strong form of spitting that we're not familiar with. But it's something like that. It means he really spits. Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just craziness. It's just craziness. How did I do that before? I can't believe it. It's something like that. So therefore the devotees, and it's all the devotees as they progress, but particularly the advanced devotees, they don't care for any of these things. They no longer have to sometimes fight off some sort of material attraction. But there's just no interest for different reasons, but a very important one, through experiencing the higher taste, which makes the other tastes look crazy. Just crazy. Nothing better than crazy. I'll read one more verse. Should I? I'll read one more verse. Deya smriti nahiyara samsara kupa kahantara taha hoite nacha he udara viraha samudra jale kama timingile gile gopi gane nehatara para. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the gopis have fallen into the great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the timingila fish of their ambition to serve you. Interesting. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these timingila fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? The devotees do not want that liberation desired by yogis and jnanis, for they're already liberated from the ocean of material existence. So their desire to serve, from which of course they get incredible pleasure, their desire to serve Krishna is so big and powerful that Lord Chaitanya Srimati Radharani gives the example of the timingila fish. I don't know if you've ever met a whale before. I remember in my youth, we would go out regularly into the ocean on a boat. And I won't tell you what we did, but some of the things we did. But I remember one time we're out on the boat and suddenly we noticed underneath us a big, massive, black shape was going under the boat, and then it came up on the other side of the boat. It was a whale, some sort of whale, but it was big enough. If it had come up under the boat, I would probably not be here today. But timingila fish eats whales whole. Yes, one mouthful, no problem. They're really big. You know, if you thought a whale was big enough, they're nothing. They can swallow ships. Yeah. So their desire to serve the Lord was just so strong. So just, you know, by our standards, perhaps unimaginably strong, is compared to this biggest of all fish, maybe biggest of all living entities, Massive, massive creature. So let me just read the purport. The bodily conception is created by the desire for material enjoyment. This is called vipada smriti, which is the opposite of real life. The living entity is eternally the servant of Krishna, but when he desires to enjoy the material world, he cannot progress in spiritual life. Well, that's very relevant, isn't it? If we maintain these old desires to do what we previously did or tried to do in our previous lives, then we won't be able to really progress. We'll get stuck in one place. We may go backwards, but at best we'll get stuck. One can never be happy by advancing materially. This is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:30. Adanta gobhya vishatam tamisram punas punas puna punas charavata charavanam. Through the uncontrolled senses, one may advance one's hellish condition. He may continue to chew the chewed, that is, repeatedly accept birth and death. The conditioned souls use the duration of life between birth and death only to engage in the same hackneyed activities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In the lower animal species, we find the same activities. Since these activities are repeated, engaging in them is like chewing that which has already been chewed. I don't know if any of you were chewing gum chewers in your earlier lives. I couldn't get into it. I mean, I tried a bit, but I couldn't get into it because the sweetness, there's a sweet covering, and that goes, and then you're just chewing this. It's like chewing rubber or something. I don't know. It's totally tasteless and useless. But I had friends, they would just chew and chew for hours. So chewing the chewed, you know, it's a waste of time. I don't know, why would you do it? I can't imagine, actually. I never asked them, I should have asked them. Why on earth are you still chewing it? If one can give up his ambition to engage in hackneyed material life and take to Krishna consciousness instead, he'll be liberated from the stringent laws of material nature. One doesn't need to make a separate attempt to become liberated. If one simply engages in the service of the Lord, he will be liberated automatically. As Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur therefore says, Mukti Swayam Mukuli Tanjali Sevate Sman. Liberation stands before me with folded hands, begging to serve me. This is what happens for the devotees. And this is what Radharani is feeling. So next Sunday, where is our man? He is elsewhere. But maybe someone can remember verse 143 is the next. And it's a little bit of a change of theme, just very slightly. But it's going into a very interesting part. Hare Krishna, Maharaj, commentary, correction, preach to me some nectar. Swarup Damodar Prabhu, I was thinking of a question that I thought was the type of question that you might ask. That we are doing meditation, silent meditation. What about that? Well, okay. Is that your question? Anyway, we're doing it, but it's just part of our sadhana, for getting focused. Yeah. It doesn't mean that ongoing we should do silent meditation. Aha. Anyone else? Mother Rukmini, what happened? Okay. Oh, right. Yes, sir. Here comes a question. Oh, and maybe it's a comment from Sri Damodar Prabhu. It will. All right.
So, you know, Lord Chaitanya is presenting the Buddha Prabhu Raja about, you know, not approaching Krishna in a very reserved, contained type of approach. And, but we are taught that his path that teaches us that our approach to the deity is a very reserved approach.
Yes. Well, that's a part of it. You know, part of it, another part, or sort of the same part really, but just slightly different perspective, is that one needs to accept the spiritual master, or, you know, say the spiritual, Prabhupada says the spiritual master, you know, really as an authority, and not stray outside the instructions of the spiritual master. And the context in which, you know, I mean, of course, that's said so many times, but I read a few times, and I mentioned not long ago here. Oops. Okay. How? Srila Prabhupada. A devotee asks Prabhupada, did Lord Chaitanya really accept his spiritual master as his spiritual master? Or was it just, yes, you know, we have to do it, so okay, I'll do it. Something along those lines. And Prabhupada makes the point that no, he accepted him as a spiritual master, as like authority. And Prabhupada said, we can tell that because Lord Chaitanya spoke the verse, the third verse of Shikshastakam. Chanada pisanichena, torora pisahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. We all know the verse. So, and Prabhupada makes the point, you can only manifest or achieve or have that actual state of consciousness if you have accepted a master. Otherwise you can't. If you don't have, you know, a master sort of on you, then you won't be able to develop that sort of consciousness. Yeah. Which I found very interesting. Yeah, but therefore, you know, the instructions of the spiritual master or like in regard to deity worship, devotees like the deity worship ministry, for example, and like very senior devotees who are very knowledgeable and experienced in deity worship, although they may not be your initiating spiritual master, but still you know they're very authoritative. So we have to be able to accept instructions. Yeah. We have to be able to accept those instructions. And like you said, Prabhupada has said to do the worship in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. And of course Prabhupada has said so much that we are actually doing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. That's what we're doing. Even though sometimes, you know, some emotional feelings and whatever will come, actually, in Krishna consciousness. But like you said, we should remember our place. And you know, if sometimes under some certain, in some special situation or special association or something, one becomes more blissful than usual, then one shouldn't sort of get ahead of oneself by thinking that, yes, this is me now. And there's a letter of Prabhupada's, which again I've referred to on a number of occasions. Yamuna writes to Prabhupada asking for instruction when she was living in London and worshipping Radha Landanishwara. And she says that she asks some questions, you know, should we do this or that? And Prabhupada gives some answers. And she says, you know, sometimes when I'm in front of the deities, I find myself crying. What is this? And so Srila Prabhupada answers the letter. I mean, I haven't seen the her letter, but you can tell from the way Prabhupada answers what he's responding to. So he says, yes, you know, when you're standing in front of the deity and tears come to your eyes, this is bhava. And then, you know, and then I forget exactly what it is, but, and then when you offer the food on the altar, you must do this. He just switches. He doesn't, it's not like, it's bhava. Wow. It's just, yeah, well, that's bhava. But now you must do this and you must do that. It's a very interesting letter of Srila Prabhupada's. Yeah. So I think that would be my answer, at least, to really keep situated in the instructions of those who are on a higher level. I mean, I'm sure there are other elements too. That's a good start. Hare Krishna. I saw Rukmini come in. Oh. All right. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.